Let's talk about it.
Hello and welcome back to Thick Radio, the podcast where we talk about gaining, feedism, and everything in their orbit. I'm James.
And I'm Tim, so let's get into it. Today we're welcoming to the show for the first time. Today we've got our good friend Ellie.
Hi.
Hi, how are you?
I am lovely. I'm really happy to be here.
Good. We're really happy to have you here. We've been really excited, really looking forward to doing this. So listen, babes, let's just get into it. I mean, how long have you been a part of the Feedist community?
I feel like I've been a part of it longer than I even recognized I was a part of it. Hmm. But I would say knowingly a part of it since I was 18, because that's when I found some websites with communities on it. And I'll just throw it out there, I'm 32. So that's a pretty long time to be a part of the community. So I'm in it.
It's certainly not a small time to sniff at, and it's funny, I think sometimes Tim and I will have this conversation about, oh, do you remember 2 minutes ago when, you know, certain websites first launched, and then you're like, that was truly a decade ago. Like,
I know.
You've been a part of the community for a little time. But as I was saying, I was talking about this with Tim recently, you know, sometimes you get caught up sometimes. You're like, oh, do you remember a minute ago when this happened? But actually it turns out that it was over a decade. And it's amazing how much time passes, but also how much, as you say, oh, how long I was officially a part of this space. Like, we were all thinking about fat and adjacencies from like prior to our joining and prior to being of a certain age. So, you know, I think that's also part of the timeline we should be considering as well. And I mean, just reflecting on that time, like, I mean, you said it was like around 18, like, talk us through, like, what was that scenario that first led to you being like, gonna take the plunge, gonna do this?
If we're talking about when I found the theater, that was when I was 18. And I remember that very clearly. So like you said, I've obviously had a lot of thoughts like that way before. See, my first boyfriend when I was like 14 was a feeder and I didn't even realize it. By the time I'm 18, I remember this, I'm in my dorm room and my roommate was always gone, which was great. So I'm hanging out and I must have been doing some kind of Google searches, right? Like gaining weight, like just, or I don't know what I was looking up, but I, you know, the keywords. And I stumbled upon Fantasy Feeder and I was like, this is a thing. Like, I'm not the one who kind of like thinks about this. And also back then I was, you know, I'm 5'6". I was like 150 pounds, but I remember being like a light bulb moment. And so like made an account, felt like a moment, I guess now it was a moment that like kind of changed the trajectory of my life. Cause from there on, I never was off of it. It wasn't something that I'm like, oh, that's just something I'm going to hide in the back of the closet and now I'm going to not look back on it. Like, I constantly was looking at it. So kind of how it got started.
Nice. I think for a lot of us, you know, it starts with some innocent Googling of just like, what?
Like, I know mine wasn't innocent. I knew exactly what I was looking for.
You were a whore at 12.
Yeah, I mean, like, boys tend to discover themselves at a, you know, around puberty, and then, like, it just kind of goes from there. But, like, once I had access to the internet, I knew exactly what I wanted to find.
Yeah, as my mother would say, once he found his cock, it was all over. But it's absolutely true. I distinctly remember being, like, 12 years old and Googling the phrase, teens who want to be fat. And it's like, it wasn't even just that I was searching, like, oh, like as a chubby chaser or a fat admirer, or what, I wasn't just looking at fat bodies and being like, oh, that's really pretty, I like the look of this. It was like, no, I was already at such a young age invested in the very notion of my own personal physiological transformation. So I don't know, I love to reach into the past when it comes to new guests, because it's always like, this is a consistent thread for so many people. Like, yes, there are people who discover different things later on in life, and we love that for people. But for those of us who know ourselves, like, it is incredible how many of us were, like, children when we figured out, like,
yeah,
I have a thought in my brain, and it's going to stick with me for life because it hasn't gone anywhere. I want to probe here and feel free to disclose as much as you feel comfortable with, but you said you were 14 and had a feeder boyfriend. What do you mean by that?
Mean by that is that that was like my first real boyfriend, in eighth grade, and then going into freshman year of high school, so grade nine, say for you. But just like a normal relationship, but he was really like controlling and dominant, but like he started teasing me about like my belly and like saying my belly was like poking out when I was sitting, and it started with that. And then it just kind of got to the point where he would get all these snacks and come over, and I'd eat like all the snacks, tease me, and we'd fool around. And I was like, oh my God, this is good. And I had already had kind of had those thoughts on my own. So it was just weird that that transpired like that. Honestly, we got to the point where I was ready to kind of date someone new. I was in high school and maybe this was my sophomore year, so grade 10. And I remember starting to date someone new, and he would come up to me in school and like secretly like grab my belly really hard and be like, kind of tease me, but I was into it. Of course, I liked that. I remember going into a classroom, like in math class, he would already be there. I'd come in, there was construction outside. I start walking into the classroom, and he was like making fun of how loud I was, but really it was the construction outside. But he said it was me walking and like really teasing me in front. I was into it again. So, no, I don't know how to explain that, but that definitely was a theme through that relationship, you know? And I didn't really realize it, but that was also my first sexual encounter.
And all I got was trying to steal glances in the locker room and then sadly masturbating
Oh my goodness, that is sad.
on my own in my room. The life of a queer young man in a small town in the Midwest. I mean, it was kind of that's just the way it was.
My gosh. I mean, I listen,
Hear it now.
I did the born again Christian thing, so I was just like, no, I like girls. I like them. I'm just not attracted to them. But I like them. And I'm gonna marry one and have lots and lots of babies with one. Yeah. Nah.
I
Nah.
never had that. You know, honestly, I never had a point where I tried to do that, Rich. I mean, no, you do like, and I was like, no, you don't. I mean, you like being around women, you like hanging out with them, you like talking to them, but you definitely don't want to do anything with them. I never had that moment. I don't know.
What I take away, Ellie, from your experience is like, I can barely get a feeder to like show up for a cup of coffee, and you straight about a 14-year-old who knew what he was doing with like packets of chips and tea, like what the fucking fuck? So I mean, listen, certain adult age feeders take notes from what this 14-year-old did because he was doing a pretty bang up fucking job. Just saying. Also, Ellie's 14 ex. Was 14 at the time, ex-boyfriend who's now going to be like 31, 32. If you happen to listen to this podcast and would like to come on and share your experiences about how I have no doubt your fetus inclinations have blossomed over the years, that would be fabulous as well. But I think this is really fun to talk about like an actual like encounter and an actual situation relationship that you had when you were a teenager because so often, like from a queer perspective, sure, but just from like the fetus perspective of as well, you only ever hear about like one very typical type of narrative that happens with relationships, what people experience when they're actually young and actually wanting to experience these things for the first time. So I do think it's really, really fascinating to actually get to see a little snippet of like, oh no, this is what people could totally have if people were like not fucking weird about fetism in general. So like this is like a hope for the future, right? That maybe there could be more like young fetuses getting to explore this kind of stuff when they're at an age where this seems more exciting, as opposed to when you're in your early 30s and you're looking at your calendar, like, I'm gonna have to pencil you in for 3 weeks and 2 days from tomorrow at exactly 6 p.m. Please don't be late. I have a bedtime of 9 p.m.
But enough about my life.
But enough about my life. But listen, I love that you've had some of that experience, and also like from when you first joined. And I want to ask, because as you say, that was a bit revelatory for you to kind of rediscover it and kind of put the pieces together and go, oh, this is it for me. Like, in that time, what has been the biggest surprise for you?
Do you mean like back then or now? Now that I've put all the pieces together and I'm at where I'm at now, what's the most surprising?
Yeah, sort of like from where you are now, like when you reflect back on the journey that you've had so far, when you reflect back on like, gosh, that high school experience that I had the opportunity to have, like what has been the biggest surprise for you in all of that?
I think the biggest surprise has just been how many people that are totally normal, smart, funny people, because I feel like there was so much shame and guilt and feelings I had suppressed and I kept it such a secret. And then when I told, probably maybe when I told my best friend a couple of years ago about it over some wine, I had told her about it and I think she was like, okay, that made that sense in a way that now I know how you're meeting these guys, that you're meeting these random guys from different states or another country. And now I'm putting it together that, oh, that's how you were meeting them. But she was like accepting of it. She kind of cried a little. She's like, I can't believe you didn't feel safe enough to tell me this. And I was like, well, it's kind of a weird thing to say, to admit. Like, who talks about it? Like, it's not like it's out there. It's not like it's really talked about unless it's like some weird messed up like episode of like My Strange Addiction, something like that. So I feel, and then now being in the community, really in the community, I have been since November of 2022. I think my biggest takeaway has just been like, wow, I'm meeting some really incredible people and you're all into the same thing, but it now it just feels like accepted. I feel like more at peace with it. And just the, knowing that I have friends out there that like one minute we can be making jokes about whatever and having drinks, and the next we're like joking about bellies. And I thought I'd get to that point with this. So I guess that's what I find the most shocking is just, or surprising is just this community can be so awesome. Besides like some of the people we do encounter, like there's so much good.
Like when you peel it back, right? And I find it interesting, like you said, like oh, like in some ways gaining and fetishism can be really out there, but like when you consider it on like the spectrum of kink and fetish, like it is so vanilla. It's like there are some people who are like, I need you to hack me off at the hip bone in order for me to come. But for us, it's like I just need a little bit of chocolate, you know, and a little
Like I told you
bit
before, I like people who do. I mean,
Oh, what are we confessing to here, Tim?
I meant to say I know people, but of course it came out like anyway. I know people who like to do like fire play, blood play, knife play, rope play. I mean, in the context of like if you were to line all these things up, like just getting fat seems pretty mundane in comparison.
Right. Yeah, I definitely agree with that. Like, it can be so playful and fun. Just like you're feeding me while we're having sex. And that is enough for me to get there. Where I get that it's not as extreme, but because of like the societal standards of like a woman want, why would you want to do that? Like, Ellie, you had the perfect body. Why would you want to do that? And it's like, 'cause I can.
Because I can and I want it and
And
like
what is perfection? What is perfection? What
Oh.
is that defined perfection for me? It's a completely subjective thing. And you know, like I've never understood that one. Oh, you're so perfect. Like to hear someone say that about like a movie star or someone that's really beautiful, it's like, but to whom? You know, to me, this is not perfection.
Yeah. It's probably one of those few things, like, you know, the meme of like the X-Men prequels they made with Michael Fassbender as Magneto, and it's that meme when he meets Mystique for the first time. He's like, show me the real Raven. No, the real Raven. And then she's there in like her blue spiky skin, and he's like, perfection. And like, as much as that's like a trope, it's very true. Like, I think there needs to be a lot more celebration for like, your body is not what people should expect you to look like, and it's wonderful as it is, you know? But again, I think that's such an important conversation. Like, at the end of the day, the issue that people have with gaining comes down to fat phobia. And so the ways in which friends of yours can also engage with you in feedism is things that are as simple as like joining in on the joke and having a giggle, having a good old time and being like, oh, we don't have to wear the stress and the pressure and the negativity behind this. We can actually have good banter And it's all safe and it's healing because we're in a space of other biggins who understand what we're saying when we make the yo ass so fat you in two times, you know what I mean? It's like we can have giggle and be like, that's a compliment because you're saying that I am so big, I've achieved such a size of grandeur. It's quite wonderful, right? And I appreciate you sharing that kind of surprise with us. And I coming back to you mentioning friends, how have your relationships with your friends, and talking specifically the people who you've maybe the people you've come out of the pantry to and acknowledge that you're a feedie, how have your relationships with these people changed over time?
I mean, the only one that's really close to me, girl, especially girlfriend wise, is just my one best friend. And then it's really just the people that I feel like the people I've dated are mostly feeders. But in general, like with my family and my other friends, I think they're too polite to just like come out and say, like, what are you doing? Like, you've gotten really fat, or like, you've gained a lot of weight. No one said that to me. Which I, in a way, I guess is good because I'm sensitive, and maybe depending who said it, I might take it the wrong way. But I get what you're saying, because if someone's saying that means you got to a specific point, and later on when I get home, I might be thinking about it. But none of my relationships have really changed. Like, if anything, my one friend who I used to like work out and run with all the time, she'll still try to get me to do that stuff. And like other than that, I feel like things have really stayed the same just in my personal life.
I think there's a point there that maybe some people need to hear because there is a fear a lot of the time that some kind of ownership of this would lead to everyone kind of figuring things out and going, oh, yo.
Yeah.
And like there's this fear of people finding out because of that reason. And in before people are like, I work in education, like my story's different. Like, yeah, okay, great. You teach snot-nosed kids. Like, great. You have a difficult life. I'm so sorry. But like, we're not talking about that. We're talking about the reality that many of us don't actually have impediments on our life that if we were to come forward, that there would be such like grandiose ramifications. For the most part, it is just whether or not people in our life find out. And it's not about saying that you have to come out. But what I love about what you're expressing is that if you do share that with some people, it doesn't have to be something salacious or shameful, and it doesn't have to lead to this grand overworking or rewriting of personal history in order to accommodate this part of you, because it is just another part of you. Those friendships have remained the same. Those narratives become a point of conversation, not a point of declination. And I love that. And I think more people listening maybe need to take that into account. Again, not saying that you have to come out and say certain things to people, but that if you do, or if people find out, it's not going to be the huge upheaval that I think we paint it to be.
Right. I think that people aren't thinking of us as much as we think they are. And you know what's funny about your example? People in education, I am a teacher. Like, that's never been an issue for me. Like, I've never had staff say anything to me. I've never had students. Actually, you know what's kind of interesting about that is my first school I worked at, we did like a weight loss challenge. So like we had to go into the office and get weighed. So like I even had that going on. So I mean I get it. I know that there's always going to be something, but I think that a lot of that is just a mental block and what you won't allow yourself to be, because other people in your life, if they're good people, they don't care.
Yeah, maybe that's the conversation that people need to have. If you're so worried that the people in your life are gonna turn and run for the Hollywood Hills when they find out that you're a gainer or a feedie, maybe you need to wonder what kind of people that you're friends with.
Absolutely.
Maybe gotta sit with that a bit. I mean, Tim, again, you've been around for as long as you have, and you traverse many different community spaces. I mean, I'm sure we've touched on this to some capacity before, but what is that experience like for you as you've grown in size? You know, you've been through the pup community, the leather community, the Cleveland space, and all the rest. Like, what are people like over time with your weight?
Well, I've noticed two things. One, the old booty calls that I used to have, they're still knocking on my door. And I think it's because now I've sort of hit this dad bod, daddy, like, you know, like they kind of find it hot, the whole like Because even though I've never played a single sport in my life, I very much rock this ex-jock kind of look. So that tends to attract the old fuck buddies. Then, like, the younger ones seem to, they think of me as like, ooh, daddy, especially when they see me in like some of my leather gear and I go out to those gear nights. And I'm already around kinky people anyway. So kinky people tend to be less judgmental because they know that someone else has judged them for what they're into. Yeah, people haven't really given a damn one way or the other. Now, if I were maybe say 400 pounds at this point, I don't know what their reaction would be because I'm still in that, like, society still considers me average, especially for the United States. So I don't know what it's going to be once I'm past that point, but I bring it, I'll be the big, leather
Right.
daddy bear or whatever I have to be. I don't know, whatever label they decide to throw on me at the moment.
That's interesting you say that though about like past hookups because I could say the same thing. Like I would have thought that same thing. Like, and I know people might think that, like, whoa, she used to be so small, but like hit me up, think that where it's like, well, I'm not at a certain point where it's like, wow, she's enormous. And maybe I will get to that point and I will just see a reaction. But if you're worried about that or an ex or a certain person not coming back, like again, if they're a good person and super superficial, they will. I talked to when I was really skinny and then talking to them now and they're so into my curves and usually that's what they'll say, right? Instead of like you're fat, they're like, oh, you're so thick, you're curvy. And I guess that's been a little surprising too because I thought, oh, they'd be so turned off. Because that's just my own insecurities, but they
I mean,
seem into it.
I'll admit that I'm sure that the body positivity movement has helped on that front with a lot of people, like the dad bod craze, which was so funny to me when they were pointing out celebrities that, like, oh, so and so has a dad bod now where he's gained like maybe 10 pounds and he doesn't have like extremely visible
Gosh.
abdominal muscles anymore. Like, that was considered a dad bod. I'm like, I got a full fucking tank. Like, I'm the one with the dad bod. I look exactly like my father. So what does that tell you?
Talking about real dads, like it's not Brad Pitt who gained 10 pounds. That's not a dad bod.
Oh my God, dying on this hill, but scissors, it's cuffing season. Like, if I get one more dude who's like over 6'3", or one dude who's like barely 200 pounds being like, I need a beer boy, like, shut up. This is not for you. Like, go back to whatever fucking Jenny Craig bullshit that you were pandering 2 seconds ago. You ain't a big boy. Leave it. Put it down. It's not for you. This is for the chungus. Reflect, because you can go to YouTube, the fucking music video. Dem boys was not even under 300 pounds. These big, you gotta be 350 to ride this kitty. You know what I'm saying? Like, you've. Give me the biggins. Give me the biggins. But also, when you were saying before, Tim, about, how those old doors, they still come a knocking, I kept thinking about that TikTok meme. I think her name is Miss Meanie. Where she says the line, like, your mother never told you how to suck dick, but you still know
But
how
you
to
still know how to suck dick.
dick. You know, it's like, it's very
Well,
that.
what's also kind of interesting to me when I reflect on some of the friends and relationships I've had over the years. Like, I had a guy that I used to hook up with all the time. His name was Hector, and gorgeous, fucking gorgeous, like, and thick as hell. And unfortunately, he's well, I mean, it's what he wanted, so I can't say unfortunately. He did lose weight. But I remember speaking with him about, like, just the gay scene in general. And he's like, people think that because when he was heavier, he's like, people think I never get laid. I get laid all the fucking time. I got people like beating my door down to sleep with me. And he's like, and it doesn't matter that I'm chubby. Like, I still get play. And it's because there is always going to be this desire, this demand for larger bodies. Like, how many times have we said on the show now that BBW is the number one search term in every single porn site on the internet? Like, there's always going to be people who desire a larger body. So
It is what it is. Get into the curves and swerves, get into all of it. But I love hearing this. And really, this comes back to a lot of points that we've talked about. Like we were saying, if they're really good friends, they're not going anywhere. And if they do, have you really lost a good friend? I think not. But comparatively, what is support like within the feedist community? Because sometimes, and I don't think this happens very often, but especially, like, for example, living in London, there are only so many feeders, there's so many gainers. Sometimes There feels like this element of being competitive, this element of we're jockeying for the same couple of feeders. We all want their time and vying for your attention. What is that like in the feedist space? Is it competitive at times? Is it more supportive? Is it more like feedies actually feeding one another, like a mutual feeding, mutual gaining situation? What does that look like?
I've experienced, I feel like there's so many feeders in the US. Like there really are a lot. And it really just comes down to, are you willing to talk to someone that's in another state or, you know, another country? Obviously, I am. I mean, my last relationship was long distance and he was a feeder from Australia. So like if you think about it in those terms, they're everywhere. And so I don't really feel like there's a competition for us. And then just feedie wise, I haven't had like the only experience I've had with feeding other feedies is when I've done collabs when we're hanging out and making videos and then we're feeding each other, which has been so very fun. And I've never gotten to be on the flip side and kind of be a feeder. So like it's opened the door for me a little bit, but yeah, I feel like there's a lot of people out there. The problem is finding a quality person. And my issue is really there's like so many people that go on there and like they're a good person, right? They're and in my book, maybe they're like a catch. They're really attractive. They've got, you know, they're shit together. They've got a decent job. They're and they're into what I'm into. And then they talk to you for a few days and then they ghost because this is a secret for them. This is something that they are hiding. And maybe they have like an actual, they only date skinny women. And so that's the more the issue I run into versus like how many feeders there are out there. It's like how many are there that are decent and they're not just gonna like ghost you because you're a fat woman and they're insecure about that.
This brings up a point, and I know we've talked about this before on the podcast, but I think it's one of those things that bears repeating. When we talk about privilege and access as far as gaining goes, like, there is a reason why we hold feeders and encouragers to a certain standard. And it is because when we consider the notion of privilege and access, yeah, the gainer is, or the feedee is the person who gets the attention. Right, like we're the ones getting fatter, you feed me, this is the thing, you get to enjoy it, how wonderful, but I get to walk away with the added poundage. Yes, that feels wonderful. However, as you mentioned before, systemic fat phobia, very much a thing, very much an ongoing worldwide penetrates most things type of thing. So we bear the weight, ironically, of a lot more like visibility and responsibility, especially when it comes to gaining and feedism, versus the feeder slash encourager. Who, once they pop that last treat in the mouth, they get to dust their hands off and fuck off out that door. No one needs to know any better, right? And so
Right.
there is a need for people who, let's say, on the intentionally slender side within our spaces, to be more aware of the privilege they hold in wider circles and to be aware that. There is such a large potential for those microaggressions, those moments of you in your mind don't think that what you're doing is a problem because why should it matter? But actually, it does. So, to anyone listening who might fall into that category where you think to yourself, you know, I'm on the smaller side, I don't want to gain or grow myself, but I want to participate with other beautiful, chunky people, and you're wondering, like, what are some things for you to be aware of? Being open and honest about your attractions. At the very minimal to the people who you're partnering with, and about what those expectations are going to be when you hang out. Is this just a feeding session where, kind of like a regular hookup, we're going to wham bam, off we go? No, neither of us need to talk about this afterwards. That's actually fine if you both know what you're doing and both are consenting to that. But it's just, I think it's a good note. And on that point, I want to ask for the pair of you, what is a just a genuine piece of like feedback you might put out there to anyone listening who wants to begin to meet up and have some fun with some big people.
I feel like I've gotten to the point now because I've been burned, or I don't even know if I like to say burned, but I just see it so often that I'll kind of like set up my expectations from the get-go. Like, here's kind of what I'm looking for. here's what I want, here's some things I don't want, and if you do this, I probably won't talk to you again. So I don't know. I mean, and I guess probably I'm just trying to protect myself, but I'm also trying to be like, what are you looking for? Like, is this just you're trying to get off and then that's it? Because there's a lot of other people out there, or just go look at my photos, you know? Or what are you looking for? And if you're like me, where I am looking for a relationship, I think it's just I'd rather be clear and communicate that up front. And if that scares someone away, good. Because you probably weren't going to stick around anyway. But at the very least, we're on the same page. And then hopefully for them too, they're like, oh, this is what she wants. Like maybe that makes them feel a little bit better, like, or clear where I stand. So I'm definitely just big on say how you feel. It's not going to ruin a true connection.
The one thing that I would really appreciate, and because I'm not looking for a relationship, but when it comes to like a possible feeding, stuffing, belly play, whatever it is you want to do, like I've made it pretty obvious on my social media profiles that like I'm kind of open. Like my schedule, I work nights, so like, but people will message me say, "Oh, I would really love to meet up, or I'd really love to do this to you." Well, give me a fucking time frame, okay? Tell me what day of the week, what time of the week. Don't just come at me with something that's really simple and blasé and like, like, oh, we should do this sometime. Okay, well, come up with a plan. Tell me something, because if it's just going to be, oh, we should, that leaves it open to that could be 10 years from now, for all I know. Like, I've very clearly set out, I have this time available, you pick something, because my schedule is often wildly different from everybody else's.
Yeah, and it's so attractive to have someone be like, okay, like you've told me your availability. So how about this? How about this? You know, like that's so attractive versus someone that's just like, all right, yeah, sounds good. And even if that first initial plan doesn't work out, you're just like, I know that you or you're just you acting on it makes me more interested.
Yeah, it's very sell yourself in all situations because I fucking know you. Give me a reason to want to get to know you and to want to stick around and give you a second chance, especially if things don't pan out. Like, that's gaining and feedism. That's also like dating and sex in general. Like, show up, do the thing, be proactive. Proactive is hard, both in asking for my availability, also asking what I like to eat. Don't just say, oh, we'll have a feeding session, leave it at that. Like, it's 2 minutes away, like from your house. And I'm like, I don't know what food you're gonna do. I don't know what you expect to happen. Like, if you're curious, be proactive and be like, would you like to go out to a restaurant? And then have like a little something extra after at home. Would you rather do everything in private? Do you want like sex in a traditional sense where there's like genitals and touching and penetration and there's gonna be other things? Or do you want it kept more platonic? Like, have active conversations because everyone's got different expectations of what they can expect from a situation and scenario. So the more you talk, the clearer of an idea you're gonna have.
Absolutely. It's just like listing some of those expectations. And with that too, I feel like then you'll find people that are just like, I want to stuff like 6 dozen donuts into you. And I'm like, wait, you didn't even ask if I like donuts. Like, if we're talking realistic, like, let's talk about what I like, what I will eat, how much of something like, there might be something I can eat a lot of. And you're not really kind of figuring that out because you're just thinking about your own porn video you've seen.
Yeah. I will never forget this one guy who messaged me on Instagram and was just so like, oh, 'cause if we get to meet up, I'm gonna make you eat 6 Big Macs. And I'm like,
Yeah.
he's like, what do you mean? And I'm like, I can't eat that much. He's like, but you're really fat. And I'm like,
Yes.
I am. But also like, I can maybe do 1 Big Mac and then like a fry and a 6 Nug and a McFlurry and a shake. Don't get me wrong. But it's like, that's like, 2 Big Macs, that's a struggle. He's like, well, a real gainer can eat 6. And I'm like, no, they can't. Like, most gainers can't eat more than 2 burgers in one sitting. Like, I'm sorry to burst your fantasy. Most people do not have an egregiously large capacity ready to go. Same thing with pizza.
Yes.
People love to measure food in like units of pizza. Like,
Yeah.
how many pizzas can you eat? And I'm like, I can eat
One.
One.
One pizza. And yeah, look at
Maybe
Kelsey.
two if it's thin crust. Maybe too, because that's the thing. Crust, like, no one realizes how much room bread takes up in your stomach.
Oh
It
my God.
absorbs the minute it hits liquid. So like,
See,
it takes up a lot of room.
I also know my pizza order. It's like I've got to have it from Domino's because I've got to have the garlic pizza stuffed crust and I've got to have the toppings that I want and I need it to come with dippers because when eventually you get to that piece of crust that all it is dry bread, I need a bit of wet to dip that in to make it go down the hatch.
Yeah, some garlic butter or something.
Absolutely. You got to give me
And what is
something.
a good point about just someone saying, like, I'm gonna make you eat six Big Macs. And I'm like, yes, I do like to be stuffed. And like, there's certain things where I'll just eat a lot of it. But like, ultimately, I like eating my food. So like, if you want me to eat a lot, like, it's not, it, you kind of pick something that I like.
Yeah.
I was hinting at this
Just
before.
a regular dinner, you know, and then we have dessert. Like, it doesn't need to be, you're gonna have it like these units of measurement. Like,
Yeah.
I come across that a lot too. Like, and actually, there's this one guy who I've seen him on Phoebe, I've seen him on like Fantasy Feeder and Instagram, and he will always message women or comment the same thing. And it's always like, do you want to do the pizza challenge? And I'm like, him and be like, can you stop? Like, I try to figure this out with you, and you wouldn't send me the payment for the pizza, so like, I can't do the challenge, but like.
Oh, I think I know what you're because I feel like there's someone, maybe it could be the same guy. It could be
Could
because
be.
there's someone or someones who will steal other people's content, post it as their profile picture, and then message gainers saying like, "Oh, I want to be your sugar daddy. I want to feed you, but give me the link to your something or other so that I can send you the money." Like the whole thing is a scam.
Yeah,
So
because
like
yeah.
scammers are coming after us now. Like scammers are coming after fetish people.
I think I have to offer them.
I don't know, sis.
People think too. I mean, I'm not widely well known. Like, I am very, 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 very small scale. And so, like, I don't make tons of money. Like, you have to work another job. Like, I'm not doing this just to get by. And so people think that too. They're like, you're getting so much money from this. Like, you should pay for your own food. And I'm like, I'm doing this as a hobby. Like, I'm doing this because I'm into it. I'm not doing it for the money. Like, most of the time, my OnlyFans is free. So I feel like they're thinking that, or like, can't you have like your fans pay for things? I'm like, it's not really like that. The kind of girl that goes on Instagram is like, and no judgment to people who do this, like, who's gonna feed me today? Like, that just, I don't find that effective for myself.
Nah. It's also a question of like, well, what do you want to put out there and how do you want to receive it? Like, you've got to decide, like, who do you want to present yourself as? And I was going to say before, I was hinting at this and I love that you mentioned it. Like, if you want to go and like have a good feeding session, and like, first of all, if you want it to be a little bit more chill and not have the person come around straight away, but also if you want to guaranteed get full and have like less stress is best, go to dinner first. Go to dinner. Go to a restaurant that you've both agreed to, that you feel very happy with the food and the price, and then you go and you have your entree, your main course, your dessert, your aperitif, whatever the fuck you're gonna have, and then you go, right, now we finna swing by the shops on our way home, and then we're gonna have a cute little moment where we're just like waddling down the aisle. And then because you're like overly stuffed and you know what you're in the mood for at that moment, you know? And you're like, oh, I haven't had one of these in a while. And you just like put it in the basket. You grab a couple more things, and you're like, okay, I think that's good. And it ends up being not nearly as much as you were expecting to be like sat on a table in front of you, but it becomes a very small number of items that you know that you like. That you could probably smash because you're in that like post stuff from a good dinner, glucose high, ready to top myself off. And then, like, it also means that because you can plan the things you want to get, it's like, oh, I'm gonna crack into the first thing. Oh, I didn't get around to all these other things. Well, they're still sealed. I don't need to like throw it in the bin or pour it down the sink. I'll just stick that in the fridge for tomorrow for something. Like, there are ways that you can have these really pleasurable encounters without it having to be this like stressful situation, you know?
I just recently
Absolutely.
discovered. Oh, sorry.
Oh, no, you're fine. Go ahead. What did you discover?
No, I was just gonna say, I recently discovered the best place for me to do both is like to both get stuffed, enjoy the food, and potentially impress someone is one of those sushi conveyor belt restaurants.
Dim sum. Come on, girl.
Like, because I'm like, the food just keeps coming around. So you're like, yeah. It's like you look up and there's just more food passed. You're like, oh,
And then, like, the plates add up too. So, like, aesthetically, visually, you see like all these plates. It's satisfying. I
very.
agree, though. It is so, that would be so nice to like go on a date. And then for me, it's like to get to walk through the aisle and pick something out and like kind of like the secret between the two of you. Like, you're about to feed me this. No one has any idea in the store that we're about to do that. And it just feels intimate to me. And that makes me more excited to go home, have you feed me, and like hook up. Like that, it just feels more genuine.
It proves my point that I think there are so many more ways to have intimacy within gaining and feedism than just let me feed you and let me fuck you and watch your fat slap about as I pound you, right? Like, and yes, love it, not knocking it. Anyone in
Yes,
London
we
wants
love that.
to.
I mean, yes.
Baby, come to all of y'all come to London and do me good, you know what I'm saying? Like, let's absolutely make that happen. But also, like, because I got to do this some time ago with Cali Bulk, which was fabulous. And like, because okay, so like in America it's called a bodega, like a corner shop type of thing.
Yeah.
Yeah, so it's kind of like that, right? Little bodega where like the aisles aren't really aisles, they're so skinny that you sometimes have to walk sideways through it to like look for things, right? And so of course when you're like picking out things like, oh, accidentally bumping into you, oh, I'm so sorry, God, I've had too much to drink at dinner, oh, I'm just falling in, oh, God. But it's cute, especially when someone like that, like you're figuring each other out, and then like you're kind of cheekily moving around the aisles, and you'd be like picking up a packet of chips and being like, "What are you reckon about this?" And I'm like, okay, I think we can fuck with that. What about this? Oh, grab a little bit of that. Like, there's actually such like a cute playfulness that is genuinely like, in our case, it was, you know, a bit more platonic, and that's fine. But also, like, it could really be romantic. It could really be like, it could also be
Yeah.
friendly. It could be so many things and so many
Just
aspects of like scratching the gaining fetus itch that no one ever thinks about, right?
be careful with those narrow aisles that your ass isn't so fat that you turn around, you knock something off the shelf and break it. Because then.
Now I did knock some biscuits off the shelf with my butt when I turned around. Ain't gonna lie to you. But I don't think noticed. I just picked them off the floor and put them on the shelf. Like, thank God, notice. They broke. They crumbs now, but no one's gonna notice.
But I think that's point two, is that also people that want to dip their toe into like actual fetishism and like doing these in real life experiences, it doesn't have to mean you come over, you funnel me, you fuck me, and that's it. It can be a normal date, like normal people do, like a normal date. And maybe they're giving you a couple pats under the table on your belly, and like that's fun and whatever, but like. And then, like you said, going to the grocery store, like these are normal things people and regular vanilla couples do. And so it doesn't always have to be to like kind of try this out. It doesn't have to be extreme. It can be just something as small as that, and see how you feel about it.
Do you ever wonder, like, for people who do kind of treat it as a wham bam thank you ma'am kind of situation? It's like, you know, we live in a world where like Grindr and Scruff and Growler and I don't know what applications that women use for hookups. I'm sorry, I don't know, but like
Hinge.
when I think about gay men, I think about, you know, Grindr being the number one, and like it's a very quick sort of, usually it's a very quick sort of like they know that someone's within a certain radius, they smash and it's over. And I'm wondering if the people who are like into this fetish, but they haven't really embraced it, they don't really know a whole lot about it, they're just itching to have an experience. They're so used to that style of hookup that they don't realize that there's a difference, or that, you know, the person, because there, I'm sure that there are feedies out there who do want the wham bam thank you ma'am, but I feel like for the majority of us it's not. And I don't know if like they haven't, the people who are into it but have never done it before haven't had like, I guess, a light bulb moment where they realize, oh, this, I need to treat this differently, you know?
Listen, I come back to this. This podcast is the first time publicly in so many designations within what we do as anything in this space that it actually gets talked about. Because people are messaging guests all the time going, holy shit, I did not know that there was another Indigenous person in this community. I did not know that there was another person who felt this type of way about this type of subject. Or I just learned that and it blew my fucking mind. Because as a community, we only ever present one idea of how this shit works. And it's the whole, I'm gonna feed you until you die. And then we
Right.
negotiate like this, where on the scale we want to go. Some people want to go up to that. Cool, do what you got to do. The rest of us are like, yeah, feed me up until 300, 350, 400, whatever pounds, right? And like, that's the variety that we tell ourselves that is available to us. But actually, there is so much more. Just like you were saying, Ellie, it's that thing of like, you can have a truly like platonic or romantic or intimate or a psychological or spiritual moment with someone through gaining and feedism, that you can do whatever you want. You can have whatever you want, but we have to be prepared to put ourselves in scenarios where that's possible and tell ourselves that we can have more than that. We can have the feeding sessions just like we were saying. Wham, bam, thank you, ma'am. Or we could have things that are a little bit more involved, a little bit more something else. Every single one of us is entitled to it, and we shouldn't be afraid of verbalizing, I could fuck with this. And we shouldn't be afraid of saying to a feeder, I want to do this. I wanna push for something more regular like that. I think a lot of people, and I know I felt this way when I first got into gaining, wanted a boyfriend who was into this so bad. Because it's like, that was my fantasy. That was what was in my head. I never pictured, oh, I'm gonna wake up at 4 o'clock in the morning because it's time to get my 10,000 calorie slop. I'm gonna dry boil some rice and mix it with butter and eat it on hand on my hands and knees. Like, that wasn't part of the fantasy.
Right.
But the visual of like, I'm with a partner, let me set the scene. I'm with a partner, it's Sunday roast, we're at the dining table, and like I'm sat there, big belly in front of me, and someone has like the plate in front of me, and they've got all the serving bowls, and like, yes, you've got like chicken and turkey and potatoes and greens and everything, but then they start to stack it like a fucking pyramid bitch to the point where like when they're putting the Brussels sprouts on top, they're just like toppling off the side like a ridiculous food pyramid, and then like the gravy goes over the top, and I'm like, that is it. As I'm starting to dig in, like they're massaging my shoulders, it's just like, come on, baby, be a good big boy and like eat all this beautiful food I just made for you. Like,
Yes.
chef's kiss.
Yes, I agree. That's beautiful. And you know, there is something really special about a feeder that cooks for you. Because I have experienced that. And like I'm also a person that believes, just even in general, someone cooking for you is like an act of love. Like I think it's just nice. And it's not, I don't know. I think it's special. So like to have that, I think that's almost like the best. I love to cook too, but like someone like making something nice for you like that and like come on, like finish it for me. I love that. And like I think a lot of it, not all these ideas, like you said, like waking up and like having slop. It's just little everyday things, but like fitting that in there. And I think that's the outcome I want. It's like it's genuine.
You know, it's kind of weird, but the one thing that gets to my heart immediately is like, make me breakfast. Because I don't know what it is about making breakfast. I don't know why I despise it so, but I just do. There's just something about like waking up and then the prospect of, oh, I need to cook something to eat. I'm like, just somebody else make it for me, please. Just or order me, order me brunch from like a nice restaurant and have it delivered or something.
Yeah.
Whatever you got to do, but like that always gets to my heart right away.
Absolutely.
I want to say ask you guys how you feel about this because it popped into my head years ago, like maybe like I don't know how many years ago, several years ago, I had a feeder come over and we had talked, you know, whatever. The man looked like Jesus. He had long hair, he had abs, he was beautiful, but he was definitely like one of those extreme hippies. Like again was fine, but he was like telling me how he had just recently seen like UFOs, but conveniently he was on like LSD while this happened. So I'm like, hey, I believe in aliens, but yeah, I don't know about that. Anyway, he came over finally and brought me like a pie. Some kind of pie. I can't remember what it was. A berry of some sort. Well, what ended up happening is he came over and we just kind of like got into it, had sex, like instead, like right away. Didn't eat the pie. When he left, that pie with him. Like,
He took it with him.
paid for it. But like, just because you didn't get to feed it to me, you're taking it with you. I'm like, you should.
Oh no. I'd be
What do
like,
you think about
no.
that?
I'd be like, no, I'm sorry. This is staying here.
Oh my
Goodbye.
goodness, that's. Do you know what that kind of makes me think of? You know when you go to a party and you bring something like a mixer, like a bottle of Coke, and like the party ends, no one's touched a Coke, and it's sort of like, do you take it home with you or do you leave it there? I feel like as a gainer, I look for excuses to take the food with me. But what should happen typically is like you brought it for the party, it stays there
Yes,
unless people
that's just
say,
common courtesy.
oh, I don't have space for all this, please take things, take then you're like, well, I'll take this back.
Yeah,
But
if they offer it to you, it's one thing, but you shouldn't just grab it and go.
no, but I do
Hello?
tend to fix myself a little takeaway container of whatever's good. I'm not gonna lie to you. But no, that was rude. Like, don't take the pie.
I
Foolish.
was like, and I, you know, maybe now I would have been like, wait, leave that for me. But just the fact that he like went into my fridge and was like with him, I'm like, damn. So then I'm like, what are you really about then? Because if you really do want me to get fatter, you should be leaving this here for me. He wanted to feed it to me, I guess so. But anyway, just curious on what your thoughts are on someone who takes back what they're supposed to feed you.
No, I'd be like, I'm sorry, that's staying.
Also, like, just from a food prep perspective, I'm like, you made a pie, you would have refrigerated it at first, but then you would have taken it out of the fridge, brought it over, stuck it back in the fridge. Like, you've got to eat that now. Like, you can't just keep taking shit in and out of the fridge. Like, leave it where it lies. Let
Here's
Mama eat this.
why I would keep it. Here, okay, so like if this was a stuffing session, right? They've been feeding me all night. I'm probably in a sugar coma by this point. I can't get it up, so it's not gonna we're not gonna be fucking. And if you think that you're gonna walk out with that pie, like, no, I'm sorry, I'm going to be eating that later after I take care of myself because I couldn't get off during this feeding
Right.
session. That's gonna be my post orgasm snack.
Well, and also,
Absolutely.
what a hot little photo set to be like, so and so stuffed me so good that I didn't even get to finish this at the time. So I passed out at like 11 o'clock. It's like 3:30, 4 o'clock in the morning. I woke up needing to eat again, and what do you know? He left me this cake, and I'm gonna eat this and take some pics and some vids. And then everyone gets to enjoy your gluttony a little bit, and they get to look at that and be like, "Bitch, I didn't just feed you for now. I fed you for later as well." Like,
Right.
there's such a, like you were saying, there can be such like a playfulness and just like a, oh, I'm a little worked up talking about this. I'm not gonna lie to you. I'm just like, who wants to
I
come
know, me
to
too.
the pie?
Who's listening? Who's interested in what I'm saying? Hit me
Yeah.
up.
Yeah, so at the end of this, we're going to give our full street addresses. Come round right now. Feed us both. So this episode, we were kind of talking about this before, right? Like talking kind of like before and after, right? Like kind of this is what life was like for you beforehand. This is what life is like for you now. I want to ask you here, like, what are some other changes you've noticed? You know, maybe stepping outside of the typical what we've been talking about for the most part, you know, friends and feeding and community and whatnot. What are some of the biggest changes you've noticed in your life as you've grown bigger?
And challenges would be like small things like shaving my legs, shaving everything, painting my toenails. Like, I cannot reach. And I didn't realize like nice that used to be to be able to like shave so easily. And now that's a challenge. I'd say that, like, obviously, physical activity is harder. Like, just even doing stairs, I get like quick, which sometimes can be fun. But for the most part, those are like my biggest things because otherwise, shit's the same. You know, like I still like doing all of the same things. And my only thing is too, like now that once I really fully gave in and started fully gaining, like I stopped working out. But that I don't mind because I wasn't working out for fun. So
Yeah, me
yeah,
neither.
feel like everything is the same, even like working. That's the same for me too. The sex is better.
Will say that I do miss being able to tie my shoes without feeling like I was going to pass out.
Yes, that is something that happened to me for on New Year's. On New Year's Eve, I was putting on these heels and I could not buckle one of them. I'm like, I can't get myself in the right position to like get this shoe buckled. I'm like, this is why I need someone over here. I need my man. Help me put my
The
shoes
last
on.
time that I went to a leather event, I was trying to put on my knee-high boots, and they're lace-up. They don't have any zipper on the side, and I had to ask somebody to help me put them on because I'm like, I can't bend over enough to like lace them and tighten them enough to.
Too much there. I'm like sucking it in, pushing it to the side. Like I'm like, this is really difficult. Now that is a challenge.
Yeah, clipping my toenails has got to be the thing because I feel like I've got to put like one foot on the toilet seat and just like fucking I literally, especially if I'm trying to like curve around my gut now to get to my big toe, I have to like left foot on the toilet seat, using my right arm to pull the fucking gut across so I have enough space to lean forward, and then with my left hand trying to clip the toenail, and I'm fucking stabbing the gentle meat under my nail because I'm trying to like run in there and just like fucking grab it and clip it and go. And I'm like, bitch, when I clip my nails now, I have to like allot 5 minutes to sit on the toilet afterwards and just be like,
That's why I always say if you can afford it, go get a pedicure every 2 weeks.
I'm definitely a team pedicure now because it's just too much work. Like you said, you're like doing yoga moves to get this done. It's a workout. My tender meats.
See, there you go. That's what you're paying when you pay for the feeding sessions. You're paying to get my little piggies done properly. Because little oink oinks all need a, you know, they need a little bit of TLC. I ain't gonna lie to you. And maybe I need to put myself in for a little appointment, but
No, I love that kind of stuff anyway, mani pedi, but like it got hard.
also just
Huge.
like what a wonderful excuse for more self-care and for something that is indulgent in your life that in and of itself is not specifically like a fetishist thing. Like a pedicure and a manicure is not a fetishist thing. However, the justification for getting them done and for being a little bit lux about them is because of the gaining fetus thing. Like, we were having this conversation a few weeks ago talking about mental health, and it's like, well, what are some things that we can do to try and like lift ourselves up a little bit, champion one another? Girlie, finding opportunities to like love on ourselves as a result of our growth and gains. Like, what better way to love on our transformation than to be like, well, I can't clip my toenails anymore. I'm gonna have to go and get a professional to get down there and turn them into beautiful situations, you know, like how fabulous. Also, I need like a plus size friendly spa that I can go to. I don't just mean a massage, I need a spa. I want it Balinese design. I want to walk in the nice full floor to ceiling glass door, and I want to see the little waterfall effect behind. I want a lovely lady with a tan to go, hello and welcome to the spa, Mr. It's time, we're gonna see you right down this way. And then you gotta go, and there's like a fucking I want a massage, I want a seaweed wrap, okay, I want a mud bath, I want full mani-pedi, I want what do you call it when you get stones on the back?
Oh,
Hot stone
hot
massage.
rock or something. I think it's called hot rock.
Want hot rocks. I want to try cupping. I want to try acupuncture. I want to try all of it, and I just want to have someone luxuriating me, just like, you know, like, and when they walk past my face, they're like, ding on the bell or whatever, fuck, you know, like meditation and shit, like, burn some sage, cleanse me of the evil spirits of this community, like, just fucking, I want the whole thing, girl. I want to walk out after 2 days and basically be like, namaste, you know, just like
Like
full.
literally a glow off of me.
Absolutely. Also, I just need someone to go in and like treat this skin because, you know, I will say one downside about like having such like a high sugar diet is like the oil of the skin breaking out and pimples. I hate it.
Okay, along with your spa thing, can we something like I'm gonna go on a little tangent now
Give it.
because that got me thinking. Like I went to a like a not really a spa, but I went somewhere recently with my friend. Well, like a steam room type thing, and We need bigger towels in public, and we need bigger robes in public because I'm fucking sick of going somewhere and like, yes, I'm bigger, but I'm 5'6", about 250 pounds. Like, I should be able to find a robe that fits me. And the sad part is there's people a lot bigger, and how are they supposed to fit that over themselves? Like, we need more public access to these things. Also, I've noticed this as I have become friends with bigger individuals, is just how accessible just everyday places are. Like, restaurants have the tiniest chairs, and I'm like, this barely fits my fat ass. Like, why are we still using chairs like this that like curve up and like there's no room for us? And I remember seeing on social media like someone pretty famous like went to like a sports event, and they were like, I couldn't even fit in the seats, like, and I couldn't do two because there's armrests, you know. So, and then of course we have the whole debate with people on flights. I hear that a lot too. And people being like, well, why should we have to? You should just have to lose weight. Well, fat people aren't going away. And like, everyone should have access to being comfortable. And I feel like just more places need to think about that. And I'm also a special ed teacher, so I'm always thinking about accessibility and making things equal for everyone. So like, why shouldn't you have at least like five chairs in your restaurant that are like designated for bigger people? You know what I mean?
I feel like eventually they're going to have to because, it's funny how America obsesses over this battle of the bulge that they're always talking about in media, but we are losing it fantastically because you can't tell an American what to do. You just can't. Have you ever met an American that you could tell what you like? None of us, we don't listen. We're not a nation of people who listen. So we're just going to keep getting fatter because you tell somebody, oh, you can't have that fast food anymore. That's the thing that they're going to eat for the next 2 weeks straight because someone told them they couldn't. So they're going to have to start to make more accommodations for bigger people because the nation is not going to get any smaller.
As we come to a bit of a close here, I want to say, the pushback on the plane seats is very fascinating to me. People being like, fat people should just lose weight. This is the size of plane seats. And I just remember thinking to myself, back before I started gaining and I was taking flights, they were already small and I was underweight.
Yes.
So I'm like, how about instead of fat people have to lose weight to fit into the small sizes that we have made mandatory for everyone, how about we all just get into having a little bit more space? Wouldn't that be lovely? Like, to not have this assumed small size and actually everyone gets a little bit of extra elbow room. It's a bit of a reframing on the argument that when you put that to people often get tripped up. And I do think, like, for me as a closer, that is what I want to say to this whole conversation. Like, it is easy sometimes to look at gaining and feedism and think of, like, oh, but fat, but like, whatever your hangups are. But actually, what if it wasn't terrible? What if it was wonderful? And what if instead of preventing yourself from sliding down a slippery slope into something awful, you were just holding yourself back from experiencing the greatest pleasure you could ever experience? Bit of a reframing there. And because we've been talking before and afters a bit today, I want to ask you, Ellie, when you think about everything you've experienced, when you think about the decision you made, which sounds to me like you probably made it pretty easily to decide you were going to throw yourself into this. For people listening who maybe haven't quite made that decision yet, what is something you want to say to people that is going to help them make that decision for themselves?
I think I would just say, like, no one said you have to go and gain 100 pounds. Like, just ease into it. Like, gain five. See how that feels. I know for me, like, yeah, it was eventually an easy choice and I was ready to, but at first it wasn't. Like, I went back and forth a lot, like, huge differences. Like, I got to 200 and went back down to 140. Like, because I was uncomfortable and I was like, wait, no, I'm supposed to be like this. So let it be uncomfortable. Let there be some trial and error. Like, that's okay. I get that it can be scary, but like, to you, no one else is in charge of it but yourself. So just like explore, just dip a toe. And I know for me, I know now I've gotten to the point where I'm like, why? I found this and like, pleasure I get from it is so immense. Why would I take it away from myself? There's just no reason to.
I love that. What about you? Closing thoughts?
Shit, I had something and I lost it. I'm sorry, I had it and then it just flew out of my head.
You know, when I think of you, Tim, I think of the advert, life begins at 4,500 years old. And you know, just like Tim, it's never too late. You
What are
too.
you gonna, what are you gonna do if I like get on some like, I don't know, memory supplement like Ginkgo biloba and all of a sudden like I can remember everything in every detail and you're gonna be like, what the fuck happened to you?
I'm gonna be terrified. I'm gonna be like, who is this
It'll
hype?
be like that episode of Ab Fab where Bubbles was actually on her game and like Eddie didn't know what to do with herself.
That is me sometimes when you're like, James, I've already done all these episode preps and I've already done all this, and I'm sat there clutching my pearls like, who are you and what have you done with my best friend? This is not what I expect of you. But it's okay if you can't remember.
I'm sorry, I can't.
That's okay. But look, Ellie, this has been a phenomenal episode, I think. It's been so lovely to get to talk to you, and honestly, I can't wait to have you back again. This has been so good. Thank you for being here today.
Thank you for having me. I mean, it's just easy. It's nice to be able to share my experiences, and talking to you too is very easy. And oh, I'd love to be back. I hope I passed my test.
You did. You did. You'll be receiving a check in the mail for the cost of your service today. No, that's fine.
Cherry pie delivered.
Yes, a pie will be delivered. It will then be rescinded, taken away from you. Perfect. Exactly. That's how we like to
That's
do
the best.
it. That's the
It will
best.
get taken away.
It will be taken away from you. Yes. But where can our listeners find you online?
Instagram is at Ellie's Belly, but the way that's spelled is at ELLESBE11Y. So it's Ellie's Belly, but you spell LELLE. And I feel like that's, if you find me there, you can find me anywhere, but my Twitter is at Ellie's Belly, ELLESBELLY. Come and find me. Let's be friends. I'm really nice. I don't bite. I'm just very sensitive.
She's very sensitive when you bring her a pie that you take away. So just
Yeah.
bear that in mind if your sexual kink is rescinding pies. maybe we need to explore that on the podcast sometime. But that has been it for another wonderful week here on Thick Radio. Please remember to like and subscribe, rate us 5 stars, and leave us a good review. Now, if you like this episode, the podcast, or just us in general, share it with your friends and encourage them to tune in. You can find me on Instagram and Blue Sky at Stanham.
And you can find me on Instagram, Twitter, YouTube, and TikTok at Thicky Mouse. You can also look us up on Instagram, YouTube, and TikTok at Thick Radio or at our website, podpage.com/thickradio. If you want to submit a voice note or become a financial supporter of the show, you can find the links in the show notes, and you can also write to us at thethickradio@gmail.com. So until next time, bye, fats.
Bye, fats.
Bye, fats.
Let's talk about it.
Thick Radio is a Patreon and Anchor app podcast produced by Stan and Thicky Mouse.
Mixed and mastered by Stan.
Our artwork is provided by Lucky 2.
Our theme song is provided by Bonfire Cream.